This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shelp.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We are here with a special guest today, Tom Myers, who is our choreographer and director here at Elkhart Civic Theater. And we thought, you know, we haven't really done an episode about the art of choreography or and how that functions in a community theater. And so we thought we'd bring Tom in here. He's choreographed, I don't know how many shows, Tom. First of all, welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
And how many shows have you choreographed in general?
I've been out here since 1995, and there's probably been roughly three shows a year in an average somewhere along
Something
the way
like that,
for
yeah.
a while.
Yeah.
And
then
you also work with high school kids, too?
I work with high schools
and
our theaters, and I teach in a dance studio, and we have a second company there that's all jazz and tap. So,
that's cool.
And then you have a full-time job.
I try.
Yeah.
There you go. They see me partially.
In your spare time, you go to work.
What was your first show here at Elkhart Civic Theater?
Will Rogers Follies.
Oh, that's right.
Oh my Lord.
The first time we did it.
The first time.
Yeah, yeah,
first
right.
time. Well, then you had hurt yourself the second time.
So yes,
you
that's when I blew my Achilles
all the
up.
Choreography, though, right?
We had, well, partial.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we had someone else in kind of working on it at that time.
Right.
So
Let's talk a little bit about dance auditions, because when you're putting together a musical that has dance in it, then what are you looking for? I mean, I know you're looking for dancing skill and an ability to move. What are the intangibles there?
The hard part, I think, is when you're working in community theater or high school or whatever from there, is you've got to be able to balance the fact that you're not dealing with professional dancers.
Right.
And you've got lead parts that may have to dance. You also have to figure that most cases you're going to have a lot more time to teach them. So there is a little bit you do want to see how much can they hold on to during that audition. Mm-hmm. Keep it short, keep it sweet. But I don't think you need to make it so easy that you can't tell anything. You need to separate.
Yeah.
The group out a little bit. And again, that's for leads, because when you have leads out there who may have to suddenly do a dance solo, are you going to approach it as a character solo? Are you going to approach it as a full dance? You have to know where you're beginning. And in most cases in community theater, I find that's where I'm starting. Where am I beginning the show? Yeah, I'm trying to find my dancers, but I'm also trying to find out what level am I going to be teaching.
That's right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do you have kind of a limit for how many, at what level you can take someone? How do you mean, you mentally, or is it just you have to deal with what comes out basically?
Right, and I think we've done a good job here over the last probably 10 years, where we've taken more people in and we've created like a secondary level. You have your main dancers, and then you have this group of movers.
Yeah,
that can help. Yeah, that can kind of help, but you can use them. You can use them in blocking. You can move them through, and if you do a good job, no one knows that they're.
Not
doing everything
it, right?
else.
Yeah. And as long as they can do those moves well, it looks fine, right?
It looks fine, and eventually, hopefully, those movers become more of the dancers.
Uh-huh.
At least for the big chorus numbers and things where they can do a little bit more.
That's neat.
Did you ever go into an audition where somebody said, I just can't dance at all, and you found that they really had good potential, and eventually they turned into a dancer for you?
Yes, actually quite often. And again, I think what we deal with is in community theater, you're not getting trained dancers.
Mm-hmm.
So if they haven't been given the opportunity, or they haven't had a good choreographer before to teach them or anything, then they don't have a good opportunity.
Right.
So it's finding what motivates them. And I approach every show as everybody wants to get better.
Oh,
flat
yeah.
out. That's where I start. And if you do only what you can do today, you're going to have a rotten show.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah. Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
does step
yeah,
touch they, and then we're done.
Right. Well, unfortunately, but I think you're right, though, Tom, that I think a lot of times we don't ask enough of a performer. A lot of community theaters kind of fall short of asking for the performer to push themselves, because it's supposed to be fun and we're just supposed to be here for a good time. That's what some community theaters think. And I believe that, but I also believe that we're here to train. And just and part of that is because I think I thought I was going to be a teacher, even though I'm not. I thought I was going to be, so I always wanted to train. And I think you are a teacher, so you also train.
Yeah, that's really a lot of how I approach it, because you have to have the ability to teach what you're going to do. And that's where, you know, as many of you know, my big thing about taking choreography off YouTube, when you're taking other people's stuff, you're not going to be able to teach it very well because it's not yours.
Oh, okay.
And trying to transpose it sometimes over does not translate because you're not choreographing to your group.
Right.
You're saying, yeah. Oh, here's someone else's stuff. I like that, and I'm going to try to fit it to them. It doesn't always work.
Right, unless it's your own or unless you can make it your own. And right. You're also, yeah, that's neat. The other thing, too, is if you're teaching somebody something in a community theater and you are pushing them to stretch themselves, I mean, it's really kind of a favor to them because they're getting a more satisfying experience. If right. they're just coming up and doing what they did, you know, in the last show, then it's not a challenge and it's not interesting. So I think that's, you know, among all the other reasons for pushing people, that's one too, is that it really makes it more fun for the people in the show to learn something new.
Yeah. I mean, and you also have to look at the fact that their learning time, the quicker you can get it taught, the more time they're going to get to repeat it. And that is the true success story behind the whole thing, because you've got to get that repetition in there.
Right.
We do not learn movement combinations all through school. We learn words. We learn numbers. But movement, we run, we do repetitive things. So for the adults to come in and have to do this,
right,
it's quite a challenge sometimes. But suddenly they find out, wow, I can. And then they really get into it, and then they're getting pretty excited about it.
Right. Well, you're a director choreographer, and sometimes all you get to do is choreograph, which is fun because then you can focus on that instead of having to worry about the entire picture. But so let's just, as a choreographer, when you know you're going to be working on a show, what is like the first thing that you think of? I mean, what do you do? Do you go into the script? Do you go into the music? Do you do research?
I do a lot of research first. I will go and check out if there's Broadway videos on YouTube and things, because sometimes there's signature steps that should go with the show, and there's a reason that they were there,
right,
made up the show it was. So if there's anything like that, I'll try to, you know, grab something from that end. Sweet Charity is a really good example because Bob Fosse's choreography is iconic, and I did replicate a lot of it, but I gave him the credit there. And there's nothing bad about restaging someone else's choreography, given the credit for it. But so yeah, there's a lot of research up front, going through the script, finding out what styles we're looking at. I'm currently getting ready to start working on curtains, and that one has got square dance, it's got hoedown, it's got big Broadway, so you've got everything in there. So then trying to create even an audition to show all that, so I can get a little idea where we're starting at, it takes quite a bit. So you've got to do your research up front.
And then where you move on? I mean, so then you go into the audition process after you've done your research?
Yes, and I'll usually go into the audition with a good idea where I'm going with a lot of the numbers. Mm-hmm. They're probably not down on the floor yet, but I've probably listened to the music by that time several hundred times.
Sure.
And I have pictures. I know where I'm going, but then if I don't see it come out of the group when they're auditioning, then I know I have to go back to square one and get ready.
When you have a show like Curtains, which has a lot of different dance styles apparently in it, then do you try to audition based on, say, the hardest thing they might have to do, or how do you approach
in that? This case here, I actually did do a harder audition for the high school group because there are several featured dancers in it, and because it's a show within a show and it's about them dancing, you've got to make it happen there, and then the lead in it, Detective Chaffee, when he all of a sudden breaks into this great dance from doing nothing, it's got to be that big difference for everybody to go, wow, how'd that come about? You know, how did he end up doing that? Right. So you've got to find someone who can do that, who can the whole time kind of look like they're almost stumbling along and moving through it and then suddenly break out into this.
Yeah.
So you've got to go from sometimes the hardest and go backwards.
Right, yeah.
Okay, let me ask you, because you've choreographed a couple of shows here that were, I don't know, extremely difficult. Forget about Chicago, because that's like all dance. And you had two really good girls that you could work with. But now I'm thinking of Millie and Crazy for You, both of which had chorus, almost tap numbers. Yeah. I can see how you can get people to move, but how do you get them to tap in unison or whatever so that it doesn't look like they're just clomping around on the floor.
One of the things we did for both those shows, and John was involved in this, is we did a pre-workshop, tap workshop for, I think we did 8 weeks.
I think it was an eight-week workshop.
And, that's a good idea.
And just to teach them the basics, because you don't have to put taps on every person on stage.
No, you don't. You had some soft shoe up there.
You can have, as long as their feet are going the right way and they're looking like they're really happening there.
Black socks, maybe.
No black socks.
You may not notice the shine on the bottom of their shoe. But,
let them go on stage.
Yeah, but it does make a big difference. Yeah, and they may end up second row back or something from there. But crazy for you, though, I don't think we did that with anyone. Out of the tap.
I don't remember having a bass drum with the, you know, oh my lord. I was so impressed with that. That's I'd seen it before and I thought, oh lord, it's just so much dance.
But you have to have a cast that's also willing to work
that hard
until 11 o'clock at night. You know, sometimes that's
one of the shows that choreography comes scripted with the show from Susie Stroman's original choreography. And, Amy Bozen, who also worked with me on the show, her and I were interpreting it through there. Well, at that point, there wasn't all the videos out there of the show.
Oh, okay.
So knowing exactly movement-wise what we were staging sometimes was quite a challenge. So when you actually saw our version versus what they did on stage, even though it may have been the same tap steps, you're probably looking at night and day in some cases.
And
ultimately, that show came out very well.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding.
But, you know, and I also remember when we did a chorus line here, one of the things that you instituted, which was the half-hour dance rehearsal before every rehearsal, which not only – I know it helped me lose 20 pounds, but
– that show made us all lose 20 pounds.
But you know what it did was it got non-dancers because, I mean, a lot of us danced, but we weren't – I mean, we weren't really dancers. But what it did is every night that half-hour got us thinking about how to use our body, you know, how it moves, just doing basic technique, so that when we actually got into the choreography then every night, it really helped us a lot. And again, I don't think a lot of community theaters do those.
That was a good one because there again, you've got a show about dancers.
Yeah.
So there has to be something that looks like these people actually have danced before.
Right.
And for a show, undertaking chorus line in community theater is a rough one anyways. Besides content, just the whole...
It came out so well. Yeah,
the picture that it puts out there. But even when I go back and look at some of the pictures, it's amazing some of our dancers who that was their first show they've done, how well they looked. I mean, perfectly pointed toes and great bottom-mouths and everything. So,
yeah. Now, do you find you have to be kind of a little bit of a drill sergeant or you'd be tough on people?
Oh, yeah. They have names for me here.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, because I think sometimes, you know, it's like that teacher you had in high school who was a hard-nosed type person and was very tough, and you leave high school and you realize that was the best teacher I ever had, you know, sometimes, and the ones that really challenge you. And I mean, that obviously you can't just let things slide or else the show doesn't look good.
No. And if you reach for just a basic level, I mostly tell with the high schools, you know, we start grading the show. They have to grade themselves as well because I want to make sure we're on the same expectation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in our final week of rehearsals. It's like, what was that performance to you? How good do you think that is compared to what it should be come that night? So we're aiming for that A-plus version.
Are they usually pretty honest in those?
Yeah,
when is your show? When is it?
This one is, I believe it's March 14th and 15th at Jimtown High School.
Yeah,
okay. That's the next one coming up.
See what you do with it, because I saw it in New York and I love it.
For those of you in Pakistan, Jimtown High School is in northern Indiana.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
they have a great auditorium.
They do. If you can find it, they have it.
Yeah, it's a little backwooded a little bit, but not bad.
It's actually a fun show. It's kind of a hard show for high school because there's a lot of inappropriate content in it.
Yeah.
But it comes with alternate versions all the way through it.
So I wondered if they had done that. Yeah.
Yep. There is all the way through it. So
if I were a director in a community theater, if I was in a community theater that was maybe, because a lot of community theaters don't do musicals, but if you were heading into your first musical and it was the first time your group had produced something like that and you were going to have to deal with dance, what would be your main advice to a troupe like that?
I think in some of those cases there, I would almost go back to putting a classic on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is because you have a lot more spots where you can have some really good just musical blocking building into bigger pieces of choreography.
Okay.
Based on a lot of the more current ones that it's blocking from beginning to end, and it's all got to be timed all the way through. This gives you a chance to build into it,
mm-hmm.
work a little bit with it, find out where you're going to be set for the future as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But that's, I mean, we've done Music Man several times, and that one, I think, in some cases, for some groups, is terribly hard.
Yeah.
Because it's the music, the accompaniment, or the instrumentation in it is some of my least favorite music. But
really?
We've made it work over and over again. I finally got it to where...
It's your least favorite from the standpoint of being to choreograph to it, you mean?
Yeah, originally, Mary and the Librarian finally came out after our third time. And then 76 Trombones is probably my least favorite number ever. And so,
at the end, where you have to have 30,000 kids coming down the aisles with
and what we did
inside the show itself, though, too.
The dance arrangements are very, very, I don't know how to put the right word. But what we end up doing is we end up cutting a big chunk of music out and did a whole a cappella section with taps and drumsticks and everything else this last time.
Good.
Which made me feel a little better about that bad section, and it changed it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can do things to make them work that way. But you have to have the people to do it, too.
Okay, let me ask you this. Because I know if you're doing a play or something and you feel like you have to change something, you have to get permission from the author, right? So now, you said Susan Stroman or Bob Fosse. When you're trying to adapt their choreography to a tiny stage like ours with maybe not perfect dancers... can you change stuff to adapt to that? Or do you have the same thing that the director would have if he has to change dialogue? Or
it's much looser for choreography. And that's why the YouTube choreographers, I call them, the ones that can just steal off there, can do that. Because there is a... if they want to push it, there is a certain amount. If you take someone's choreography and they can show that they did this, mm-hmm. and it was a paid thing, and from that end... there's definitely there can be issues out there. There is a certain amount of liability that can play into that. But for the most part, in our case, when with Susie Stroman's, you know, that's a book that comes with it.
Oh, okay.
You know, and it's all written. You get the rights fully to it. With Fosse, you're talking against some of the most iconic, choreography. And I think for the audience and for the dancers, and I worked a lot with Fosse's style, this really gives them a new opportunity. But in no way on this earth am I ever going to take the credit that I put that on stage. Hmm. And I have seen versions of Crazy for You where they use Susan Stroman's choreography, but they didn't give her credit.
Yeah.
And it's pretty obvious in that show because that's, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of iconic.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of times also they give you the option to choreograph on your own.
You don't have to use it. Well, you'd have to have on your level.
Right. So then that makes it, you know. A lot of times we have choreographers that sit on our reading committee. I mean, mm-hmm. you have sat on our reading committee before. And they say, you know, you're just not going to have the talent to do that show. You know,
right.
Like a Crazy for You. You know, if we want to do that iconic choreography, then there's just no way to.
I'm not sure we've got the dancers right now.
Well, and there's a certain degree. And again, once I go back to how I approach it. Yeah, you have to put in, what do I know I have out there? Do I have enough to fill so much? But I'm also not going to go into the idea that I'm defeated because I picked the show and I don't have it. I'm going to teach them to do it. And that's where I aim everything from.
Excellent.
Right.
How closely do you work with the director then? I'm asking this question.
It depends. If you're the director, no.
So as you're working with the director, I mean...
It kind of does vary from director to director. There are certain directors who really want nothing to do with me. And they want me to go do the dances, get them set, and then... throw them in and it'd be done with that. When you and I work together, we work very close. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the success of our shows is the fact, and this is a problem with many shows, is you get blocking, you get dialogue, and all of a sudden it breaks into this huge dance and there's no cohesion between it.
Right.
And when we're working together, we kind of build all the way through that.
Now, were you one of the directors for White Christmas? I know you were in it.
I choreographed one of the numbers.
Okay, but now that's
like,
that's like, I have not seen the show that they bring back every Christmas season in New York, but the movie is really popular. What do you do as far as people that have seen the movie and seen the movie, and then they come and they expect to see the same kind of choreography? Do you go with the movie, or do you do your own?
White Christmas was a little harder because the movie is quite a bit different than the stage show.
Yeah.
So you've got different numbers that are suddenly popping up in there. But the best things happen while you're dancing. Uh-huh. You can't do, at least on our stage and probably most stages, you can't do all the really cool dancing down the pier and all those type of things. So you kind of have to just create a new piece about it, but one that's going to grasp their attention. And they get done with the dances for the audience, and they're like, wow. And it is suddenly the old image is erased enough that they can accept it, at least.
Well, I think it's one of those things that we talk about all the time. It's about all of us in community theater, we have to think outside the box.
Yeah.
And the more you think outside the box in community theater, choreography, directing, design, all those things, costumes, if you can think outside the box and make it work, then that it'll work for your community theater. But you have to be willing to think outside the box, which I know Tom does really well.
As someone who has two left feet, definitely, I will say that I am totally floored by the choreography that this gentleman puts on our stage.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen some of the people that get up there, you think they have trouble walking, let alone dancing.
I'm going to go back to one of my favorite pieces when we did Fantastics, and we had Terry Shaner and Jeff Rice up there as the dads.
Uh-huh.
And these are two guys who don't dance. And that was one of the funniest character numbers I think I've put on stage.
Right.
And if you can direct it from that end, understanding and accept that they don't have to dance, but they can still make this work really well, you can put some great numbers on stage. And that's how they want to feel, too. They don't want to feel that awkward.
Oh, no, of course not.
So when they walk off the stage, you want them to feel positive about what they've done, even if it's not like fancy choreography.
And then look, Terry ended up coming back and doing Godspell of all shows and dance.
There you go. Okay, well, thanks very much for joining us, Tom. We will definitely have you back and talk about about other stuff related to dance and musicals and things like that. So I really appreciate you being with
us. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
So for those of you out there, remember you can pick up our show at iTunes. You can listen to it at the website. You can listen to it at blueberry.com, which is spelled
without E's.
BLUBRRY.com. That's how you spell it?
I guess there aren't any E's.
No E's in Blueberry. Blueberry. The Blueberry Network. We're at the Blueberry Network. We are also available on Stitcher, On Demand Radio, and some other places as well. And your favorite podcaster can probably catch us as well. We're just everywhere you want us to be, and you can listen to Theater Geek. You can get your geek on no matter what kind of device you're listening from. Also, remember to stop by our online store at theatergeeks.com/store, where we have all kinds of stuff, including John's favorite.
Yeah, well, I just was curious, Tom, have you ever been on our online store?
No, I haven't. I guess I'm negligent right now.
I just want you to know that you can get underwear on that.
You can get underwear. You can get a. You can even buy.
Suddenly have a new revelation.
You can buy a Theater Geeks.
Great coffee mugs.
Coffee mugs are great.
Great beer mugs.
And the thong. You can get a thong there. Yeah, that's true.
I didn't need to
actually
know.
There's a lot of t-shirts and so hoodies and sweatsuits and stuff like that as well. So, and even an iPhone case. You could get a Theater Geeks iPhone case if you want to. And so, yeah, all kinds
I feel
of good
bad
stuff.
Though, because it makes me feel really underused or under. I don't know what the word is, but I have a smartphone. I don't have an iPhone, so I can't get one of those for my case.
Actually, there is
Android.
One for some of the other smartphones.
We need Android.
That's true. So. Anyway, okay, we're all sharing our smartphones here. Radio, folks.
Can I go? The only person in this room talking about their hands has been the choreographer.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, so anyway, be sure and stop by the store and check out all the fun stuff there. And that's all from us. Thanks again to Tom Myers for joining us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.